What do you see in a front cover of your bulletin? It looks like two houses, right?
Two doors.
But if you look carefully, it has the same address. It's actually the same house. It is one house that is saying Passover when it talks about evil, and it chooses life. And there is the same door that says come over and choose death. So I will try to emphasize during this time that Satan has never changed his approach because it has worked from the beginning. So he keeps advertising the same thing for the same price. Do you know what the price he charges for everything that he offers you? Life. And do you know what the reward that he gives you? Death. And have you noticed how he has been advertising death so much? It is amazing. If you turn on your television and you see somebody trying to sell something that is broken, something that smells bad, is rotten, and ask an absurd price for it, what would be the first thing that comes to your mind? This person is insane. This person is not going to sell one single item because, look, it's broken, it's rotten, it's useless. But yet, Satan is doing the same thing, and he is succeeding. He has been advertising October 31st, the what they call Halloween, which is not a hallow nothing, okay? Because hallow means holy, is not a holy eve. But he has been advertising this for more than 2 months. How many of you have seen dead people in the stores today? Or at least a picture of it. Right, you go to Home Depot, you says, are you in the death business now? Because look, all the skeletons are everything else. You go to all the other stores, they advertise. You turn on the television, it's evil everywhere. And they are saying, let's have fun. Satan is trying to take something rotten, something so bad, and try to sell to you that it's something that is going to make you happy. That's what is being advertised. And you'll be amazed how many people are buying into it. And that's why we'll be addressing today. The scriptures, get rid of the old yeast. What do you think? Look, in the bulletin, I made emphasis the old yeast. What do you think the old yeast is? Some may say, oh, pastor, sin. The old yeast is actually Satan himself. In everything that he produces. Because every place he spoils everything. It is just that little, yeast is actually bacteria. And so he is there to contaminate everything, every aspect of life he wants to contaminate in order to bring death. Because his objective is death. But there is the Passover. There is an answer. For everything that he offers, there is an answer. And by the way, once in a while, we are not here at Pentecostal Church, but if you want to say amen, you're free to do so, okay? It won't bother me. Passover or come over. Now, you notice that those of you that English is your first language, the pastor, you misspell, Passover goes together. Not really. Not in a context that we're going to use today. Today we're using Passover as a verb, not as a noun. Together it becomes a noun to describe an event. But in this case, I'm talking about the action. So it's not misspelled, it's on purpose. Passover or come over. And in some cases, game over. Let's continue. Yes. Do you know, he said in heaven, he looked at himself and says, you know what? Am I great? And then he says, I can be as good as God. And he started this game. He started to say, I'm going to take those that follow God towards to come to my side. So he started a campaign called Come Over. When did he start this campaign? Many, 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 many millions of years ago, I don't know when, But in heaven he started. And what it took him, the effort it took him to convince a creature, an angel that was before God, to turn their backs to God and come over to his side, is just like he's selling a junk, rotten thing and promised that that will be good. He convinced even the angels that the Bible says is more than us. So, how many came to his side? He was there standing, yes. He was there standing. And he was inviting every three angels that came to decide to pass over, but one decided to come over. Pretty soon he was no lonely anymore. He had a multitude with him. And believe me, every single time you hear or see something bad, people have this, I don't know, curiosity, very, for lack of a better word, a very dumb aspect of a human being. When do you have a brain to use and you see that doesn't make sense and you still go and put yourself at risk? He said, come over. And they did. You know what he was doing? Trick or treat. That's what he was playing. That's when he started, the whole thing started. He was promised that, do you think that they came over just for, no, he had some sweets that they thought it was sweet. You know those things that you put in your mouth is sweet and then it's become bitter? That's the taste of death. They came because they thought they were being treated. But actually they were being tricked. That's when the whole thing starts, brothers and sisters. And what happened is that there is always consequence when we choose wrong. When we make bad choices, there are consequences. There in heaven, he ceased to be the angel of light. And he became the angel of darkness. Jesus referred him as the prince of darkness. The Bible calls him the king, their king. And also, all the individuals that decide to follow him became agents of destruction as well. So what happened? If you are light, you stay where light is. But if you are darkness, what happened to be in a kingdom full of glory? They couldn't stay. And I know that the Bible used the expression that there was war and God kicked them. He made a choice. The moment that he opposed light, he decided to be darkness. And therefore, he was cast out with all his agents of destruction. And they were thrown away. Now here is a word that you probably have seen in the Bible a few times. The bottomless pit, the abyss, sometimes used in the Bible to symbolize the grave. Basically, the abyss is, in a sense, is where death is, where life ends. So he was thrown to the abyss, where there was no light but only them. Yes, on the space where there's nothing there, that's where they have to be sent to. Why were they sent to where there is nothing? Because that's where death is. And the agents of death and all the other agents that came along with him was thrown to that abyss. Trick or treat? Their king, the Bible says, talking about Satan, is the angel from the bottomless pit. That's where he was sent to. That is also another reference for the grave. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon. And in Greek, Apollyon, which means the destroyer. Why is he called the destroyer? Look around what he is advertising. What does he advertise? Destruction, death, nothing else. And by the way, one thing that you have to, I don't know how we should give him credit to this individual, but not only he does a lot of destruction, but he always sends the bill to God. He always sends the bill. And sometimes even we, God's people, God's agents, fall for it. and we blame God on the process as well. The destroyer, who is the destroyer? Is Abba or Abaddon? Don't get it confused, okay? There is not Abba that is the destroyer. It's Abaddon. That's what the Bible tells us, the destroyer. He is the destroyer. He is Mr. Death himself. All the pestilence that they can cause in earth is all with the intent to cause fear, despair, and for us to turn our back to Abba. Now, then Lucifer himself decided to come to paradise. By the way, paradise was Adam and Eve's new home. It was beautiful because they got a home, no mortgage, and no taxes either. But they did have to take care of it. Someone came one day and knocked at their door. And this individual that came dressed with a custom. Look at him. He's dressed in a custom. And he says, trick or treat. He said that to Eve. He came to ask Eve, would you come over and join me? And Eve and Adam, they took the fruit and gave an offering to him. Yes, the trick or treat. Do you all know what the expression trick or treat means? Anybody here knows? I'm not asking you to your skills in the English language. I'm talking about where this expression comes from. It's actually, I mentioned this before, it's actually a threat. It is a threat. It says these individuals that come dressed in a costume, they're supposed to be, they are agents, even without knowing, they are agents of evil, the evil one. They come to your house and says, give me something or else. That's what trick or treat means. Or I will do something to you if you don't give me. We diluted this in so much, we use so many times that we don't even realize. But I'll tell you one thing. The one who created it knows exactly what it means. And he wants your children to repeat it over and over. Today, your child dressed in a custom, it goes to, I hope none over here will do this, go to somebody else, a totally strange house, you knock at the door and say, trick. Or treat, trick or treat, or do this or else. Now, a few years go by, that same kid says, you know, I got very good at this stuff. So now they put a different costume. A mask, with some gloves, get a weapon, and go to a store. Trick or treat. Give me the cash or else. Yes, you may say, Pastor, I think you're pushing this too much. Brothers and sisters, I don't know. Don't be naive. Satan has a purpose behind every single thing that he teaches. And he is looking for agents. And what best agents are the little ones? Because their minds are very easy to be molded and to be transformed. And once they are hooked, they may be hooked forever. They decide to invite Satan to come over. Immediately, they decide also to put a new costume. Yes, before they were properly dressed, but now they want to create a costume themselves. So they took some leaves. And by the way, every time they took a leaf, they were bringing death to that tree also. So they were killing something. And they covered themselves. And here comes God for a visit. And they were hiding. Why are you hiding? Oh, because this woman. And the woman says, oh, not me. That one dressed in the serpent, the costume with the serpent thing, that one. Basically, both of them were blaming God. And as we do into this day, 6,000 years later, and we're still playing the same game, we still blame God for everything. They decide to put on the costume. They decide to tell, come over. Now, after that, you know that God decided, no, this costume is not good. God went and gave them proper clothing, but there was a sacrifice. And that was introduced, the Passover. The Passover was introduced to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve taught their children about the importance of Passover and not come over. So they start to offer sacrifice. Look at Abel. Abel brought the best parts from some of his firstborn, emphasis, firstborn of his flock. That's what the Passover is all about. The Lord accepts Abel and his gift. But then here comes the mean one. But he did not accept Cain and his gift. Why? Children, look at the screen. You're going to see why God could not accept Cain's offering. So Cain became very angry and felt rejected. Poor. Here it is. He went and he killed his brother. Now, some of you have seen this verse quite a few times, but I would like to give you a little light on this verse now. I will make you and the woman enemies to each other. Who is he speaking? Now, who is he speaking? I will make God. Did God make them enemies?
No.
Not really. That's just an expression. They chose to become enemies. All right? They chose to come over or pass over. They made those decisions. I will make you and the woman enemies for each other. Now, look at this. Some people don't see it. Your descendants. Whose descendants? I put in red to give you a hint. Satan. Satan's descendants. And her descendants. Who is her descendants? We. All right? Now, angels don't have kids. What in the world is God saying, your descendants? Here is the connection. He has to recruit. He has to adopt kids because they cannot have all their own. So they have to adopt. So guess who he adopt? He adopt Cain and Cain's sister. And Cain went and did what the destroyer do. And every agent of Satan would do. He went and did kill his brother. Now, his sister could have said, I'm not going with you. You're a murderer. I'm staying with my parents. No, she went with him. And they decide to create descendants to the serpent. That is accurate. Now, what do you see here on the screen? An altar ready for an offering, right? Then what do you see here? Same thing. That is Abel and Cain's. That it could be yours and mine. I hope that we make the right choice. Notice that Cain and Abel have all the things equally. They were the same. The only difference was the offering. Who do you think this offering was? Abel. And I like the word Abel. Because I'm able. And God makes me able. Yeah, the Bible says God can make you able. And he makes us able. But what do you think that Cain put on his altar? Yeah, like that one, right? I want to put this on the screen because I don't want you to forget this. Every single time there is the question, trick or treat, you are playing with fire. You are putting yourselves and your children in the wrong. This is not a game, brothers and sisters. Stop pretending that it's a game, because it's not. Life and death. In one side you see that God could not accept, and He still doesn't. Doesn't matter how much you justify. Some of our schools, Seventh-day Adventist schools, are celebrating, but they say, you know what, let's not put dead people, let's use, their intentions are good, but I don't think they have enough understanding how children works. Because if you tell a child that an event it's okay, and then you get a child involved in an event, you just change a few colors. In the mind of the child, still the event is valid. You're still telling the child it is okay if we dress just a little bit different. It's just like people later on in their lives when I say to them, a little bit of alcohol is not as bad. Just a little bit. I had somebody come to me, a church member come to me and says, Pastor, a little bit of alcohol, it doesn't harm anybody. It's just like they say, a little bit of marijuana will not drive you nuts. You have so many cells in your brain, you can afford to burn some of them. But the other one was accepted. So the one that says pass over means I don't want anything to do with evil. I want to God's grace to be upon me so the evil one cannot see me. But the other one says come over, an invitation. And you know, when you say come over, basically you're telling God out, because I have somebody else coming in. When you go to your house and it's all dark, you have a choice. Do I ask light to come in, or I let the darkness stay in? If you let darkness, you cannot see. You're going to be bumping your head everywhere. You're going to be breaking things. So now I need light. It's just common sense, brothers and sisters. Just common sense. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born to the Hebrews, of course, you shall cast them in the river to the crocodile god. Yeah, they worship the crocodile. You must throw your sons. What about the daughters? Oh, every daughter, we shall save them. But you know why? Because they will marry to an Egyptian, and the seed will no longer be good enough for God to bring the Messiah into the world. They were after the firstborn. Now, who do you think that convinced Pharaoh to start doing this? I have no doubt. The pumpkin guy. Yes. The same one who would like to offer vegetables instead of the Passover lamb. The same one who decided in heaven that it was better than anybody else. The one who decides from become a light into darkness, the prince of darkness, is the same one. Exodus 1 verse 20. Brothers and sisters, it's all connected. It's all there. It's nothing new. Is the old thing over and over, and he's doing such a good job that Satan won't change his rules. He's going to continue to advertise the same way. He was in Egypt, and it continues. There in Egypt, there was something that happens. He says, by faith, let me go this slow so you can enjoy the graphics. He says, by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkler of blood. I think our machine here needs to be turned off. Yes. And it says, in what? in order that the destroyer could not touch their firstborn, their sons. Now, you notice clearly that what all the blood was doing to those houses. Why was the destroyer going over the whole Egypt if the destroyer could say, no, I want to just to destroy the Hebrew kids, but why am I going to the whole? Because no matter what, Satan is still a creature. Satan still does not have knowledge about everything. And there was something that he could not see. What God's grace covered, he could not see. He cannot see beyond God's grace. So the blood was a cry for grace. It says, cover me with your grace, so the enemy cannot see me. And that's what the blood was. It was not any blood. And by the way, chicken blood will not do. Blood of anything else, it has to be a lamb, a firstborn, perfect, without any defect, because it was a symbol of Christ. That's why it was done this way. Now, here's the house when someone puts the blood. By the way, I hope that not only during this season, I hope that 12 months a year, the blood of Christ is in every door that you go through. Because sometimes we think about putting blood on our door of our house, but then we go and knock in different doors. Place where we don't belong. We weren't supposed to be there. A place where God's grace cannot protect us if we insist in going to those places. We live in the United States when it's very popular for us to, at least for some people, to go to movie theaters. You don't belong there, brothers and sisters. You don't belong there. Oh, but today it's just a Disney movie. It is a G movie. G. It is a G movie. And you go in, and the devil says, oh, my God, you fool. I have quite a few things before you see the real thing. You can see I have a few things to put in your mind that will never get out forever into the judgment day when I see you again. Is that too strong for you, brothers and sisters? I'm going to continue. Passover or just simple come over. If the blood is not there, he will come. And he brings death with him. You need God's grace upon your home, upon your iPads or tablets or phones, because he can come into your life any way you open. Any window you open your life, he will come. So young people, don't be naive. You are, as a young person, by nature, you're curious. And the devil will exploit that to destroy you. Because he knows that you will try something just to see what it tastes like, what it feels like. And once that you go in, you may be hooked for the rest of your life. Don't be fools. If you were born to be a fish, your lips probably would be like this. So you are not born to be hooked in those things. Don't take a bite. Don't be fools. God gave you a brain not to occupy your head so your head will not be empty. He gave you a brain to guide you, to make you make right choices in life. Here are the doors. Pass over or come over. In one door, there is that symbol of death. Stand there. You notice that those vases, those pumpkins there, they have a smile. Come over. That's an invitation. But everything is about death. But the other one is about life. And I hope that you make the right choice in life. Think about the things of heaven, brothers and sisters. I don't know how many of you, there is a day that the Roman church has established. They took from paganism and they call the All Saints Day. It's November the 1st, and then November the 2nd they celebrate. And in Brazil, when I was young, I was a youth director, we took all the young kids, we went to the cemetery very early in the morning, because we knew that all these Catholics and Pentecostals and Baptists, they all go to the cemetery to visit somebody who is not there. See, they all have been told that their relatives are not there. So I have no idea why they go there. But they came, and they came in a huge multitude. The place was packed. So we went before, and we put a little, the state of the dead message in every grave. I hope some of them made the right choice, and now they know where the dead is really, right there. I have said this before, I'm going to say it again. I play with the words. If you believe that the dead go somewhere, you believe the dead is nobody. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Yeah, if you have nobody, the body is still here, and you are there somebody, you're nobody, somebody, you know what I mean? You cannot be somebody without your body. You are nobody. The only way you can be somebody, if whatever your body is, you are there too. So I'm saying this because there are very, very smart young people here, and I hope that those little things stays in your mind. It's rest there. When somebody tells you that they die, they leave their body back, and they go somewhere, you just tell them you just became nobody. Jesus is not coming for nobodies. Jesus is coming for somebody. Amen. In the grave, there are no bodies in the grave. There are people in the graves. In English, we have been influenced so badly that even when we are teaching the Sunday school lesson, once in a while we refer to the body and soul. There is no such thing, brothers. Wake up, please. Don't let the culture mold you so badly to the point that you start speaking like the world. When somebody dies, who takes them to the cemetery? Who takes them to the cemetery? Yes, you're right, brother. The living. Why don't they go by themselves? Because they need the body, right? In order to go somewhere. Oh no, they are taking their body to the cemetery. It was just a body. Why all the cry, all of those things? It is the person. We mentioned last week, in preparation for today's message, about Lazarus. Jesus didn't say, where did you put the body? Or the sisters didn't say, oh Lord, we put the body there. But you know, he's no longer there. He is 4 days already. He probably already have at least 4 planets in his trip up there. He is long gone. Is that fair to bring him back to this misery here? No. Let him have fun. Jesus said, where is he? Oh, he is there, but he has been there for 4 days. He stinks. They didn't say the body stinks. He says he stinks. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't say, come down, Lazarus. Where are you, Lazarus? He came forth. Untie him. I don't know, brothers and sisters. I read the Bible over and over. Even the Catholic, even if I have a Catholic version, or like this NIV that is very much influenced by the Catholic Church too, no matter what version of the Bible you take, the conclusion is all the same. Jesus said, my friend is sleeping. And I'm going there to wake him up. He didn't say, the body's there, I'm going to wake up the body and then bring the soul and put there and make a whole enchilada, the whole thing together again, the whole pieces all together. No, it's just one person. Think about the things of heaven, brothers and sisters. Not the things of earth. When somebody invites you, come over to the dark side. Remember, Jesus Christ gave his life so that you pass over those invitations. Brother Marcus, pretty soon you're going to college. College has been, I'm not going to apologize for putting you in a spot. When you go to college, you're going to be put in a spot a few times. So I want to make sure that you'll be ready for it. You'll be put in a situation, and some of you are here when you go to school too, you'll be put in a situation when they're going to ask you to compromise. When you compromise to a point that you're no longer Marcus, you become estranged to yourself. And then you realize that life is not fun when you don't even realize who you are. Life is only meaningful when I have control of my own life. No one should control my life by me, because I have to answer to God for this gift. Look, I'm coming soon, he says. My reward is with me to repay all people for their actions, the way their actions deserve. I hope that whatever you are, all of you young people, wherever you go, I hope you remember who you are. God created you to be saved, to be holy, and to be alive and well. Amen. Not only alive now, but alive forever.
Amen.
So make right choices in your life. Don't allow the devil one to invite you to come over. And remember, for everyone, one day will come. Every single person, the agents of destruction, the demons, and all the humans became the descendants of Lucifer. They will come to a day when finally the game will be over. Then it will be no longer come over, but you see, game over. And destruction will come upon evil, and evil will be no more.
Amen.
Until that day comes, keep your faith. Now let's sing the amazing grace that provides us the ability to choose, pass over, and not come over.